Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
5 weekday afternoons on the home team with Jeff Dantzler and Chris Brain on 960 The Ref.
All right, back here on the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Dave and Logan along with you. And what's that music, Logan?
It's a little CCR.
No, that's John Fogerty.
The lead singer.
Yeah, there you go.
Of CCR.
There you go.
This song to me,
like, what?
When I grew up in Atlanta over at Fulton County Stadium, they would always play this when the Braves took the field.
Okay.
So to me, it just takes me back to my childhood.
Well, it's being played for a reason because we're talking some baseball here with Georgia head coach Scott Strickland. It's nice enough to drop in and even be in this silly, stinky studio, which, by the way,
last day.
We probably need to apologize in advance for some technical glitches that'll be coming up over the next couple weeks. They're redoing this board and studio after our show.
I was going to say, it does look a little bare in here, a little different than
we're going to. Yeah, we're going to be in a remote studio.
Coach
for a couple
Strickland
of weeks.
Will officially be the final in studio guest.
Yeah, how about that?
The studio as we know.
Yeah,
it. So
yeah.
Good deal.
Exactly, Scott. Good to see you. How are you this
I'm
morning?
I'm doing great. Thanks. Dropped my daughter off at school right around the corner, and happy to stop in to see you guys.
Excellent.
Well, that's the great thing about living out here because.
Yep.
We always love to have you come in when you can, and it is good to see you in person. And how was the weekend?
It was awesome. I mean, just like everybody else, it just was just an electric atmosphere. We were able to practice, and we had a lot of recruits on campus. A lot of folks took some breaks from tailgating to come over and watch this inter-squad on Saturday afternoon. And, you know, that's the really cool thing about our team is every single player that's on our team has been recruited by coming to watch baseball and then going to watch football. So our guys, they enjoy it. They enjoy the fact that they're kind of in the spotlight in the fall a little bit on a Saturday. And they get to go enjoy it too. I say, hey, I want to go watch the football game. I'm excited by it. But you know what? They came here to play baseball. So we practice. We enter squad on game days as long as it's not a noon. We don't practice at 6 a.m. on noon starts. But if it's 3:30 or beyond, we practice on Saturday. We bring recruits in because we want them to see football, but they're coming here to play baseball. So we always practice or enter squad on football days for recruiting, but also for our current team.
I saw you down by the hedges. I appreciate you acknowledging that you knew me. That was big of you to do. It made me look very cool in front of some of my friends. But I guess we've kind of had this conversation a little bit in the past, but when any school, pick anywhere, but Georgia specifically, obviously, the football team's doing really good right now, very highly ranked, a lot of national eyes on that, but that certainly helps a lot of other sports as well. So you guys certainly reap the benefits of what Kirby's doing with the football program.
Oh, there's no question. Yeah. You know, football does well, everybody does well, and it's just that ticket was the hottest ticket probably for the last 2 years. As soon as we left South Bend 2 years ago, people started talking about them coming back here, and you know, that was basically a reward for all of our commits. We have 22 commits in the 2020 and 21 class combined, and 13 of those kids came to the game on Saturday, and it was kind of a reward for them. But like we were talking off air, is you know, once we get a kid committed, and we ended up beating the other teams in the SEC and other teams in the state of Georgia to get those kids to come to Georgia. Now we're competing against 30 major league teams that are going to want to draft them in June. So we're continuing to recruit them all the time. When they sign that national letter of intent in November, we take a small breath, but then we've got to wait until June to see what really happens. Because if they're good enough to play at Georgia, if they're good enough to be an impact player in the SEC, then they're good enough to have 30 professional teams want to draft them and sign them.
And you said the rule is they can only be on campus if they're a junior or senior, is that
right?
Yeah,
it's a little bit different for football. They can bring in kids that are younger.
Yeah.
But for baseball and most of the other sports, and if I'm not mistaken, all the other sports, they can't be on campus until they're juniors.
Is that for an official visit? Is that what they call it?
Unofficial as
oh,
well.
Okay.
So, you know, the most talented 15-year-old sophomore in the country can come to our campus. We're not allowed to talk to them. They can come to our practice.
Buy a ticket and
we can't
acknowledge.
I mean, they can come to our practice because our gates are open. They're open to the public, but we can't even acknowledge them. So it's just the way it goes because the early recruiting had gotten so bad. Kids that are in the eighth grade were committing, and strangely enough, they still are. I don't know. Kids are committing in the eighth and ninth grade, and they're not allowed to take visits. They're just committing because it's their favorite team. That's not a good thing. Our rules got to change, but it's what we deal with right now. Kids are committing. Before they get their first report card in high school, kids have committed to go to college. Think about when we were all 14 years old.
Yeah, right.
And knowing what you're, where you're going to college, it's insane. It's broken. But that's what's going on right now. We don't have any of that. I don't believe in it. So our commits are 2020s and 2021s with our juniors and seniors. And then we're just watching the other kids and watch them grow up.
Yeah, I mean, what do you do if you get a commit from a ninth grader and then he, by the time he's a senior, he hasn't panned out and then you might want to drop him, but then it makes you look bad.
Well, that's what's happening with the other schools.
Yeah.
These decommitments that we always hear in football.
Yeah.
He just decommitted. Well, I mean, really, that shouldn't be a word. If you type it into your phone, it doesn't exist. That word doesn't exist except for in recruiting.
Right.
And but that's what you're seeing in baseball. A lot of kids are decommitting. And 95% of those, they've got decommitted.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what? A ninth grader hasn't driven a car and probably hasn't had a girlfriend yet. As Chris Hack likes to say, the car fumes and the perfumes haven't hit him yet. And
awesome.
A lot of things change when that happens. And,
golf, I mean, that's a tough one there because they're having to make decisions on junior high school or middle schoolers almost.
Well, I mean, think about going to watch a 14-year-old that's really talented, and you got to guess whether or not he's going to be good enough. And unfortunately, what's happening is a lot of these schools are committing these kids and getting that verbal commitment and just putting them on layaway. If they continue to be good and they get better, they keep them. And if they level out or they see someone they like better, they just decommit them. And that's just not the way it should be done, and that's not the way we're doing it.
So when you or Coach Kenny or Coach Daly are doing your summer stuff or whatever – I mean, honestly, if it's a young kid, what do they have to do to just even catch your eye? I mean, that because I know that's tough for you guys to an extent.
Well, that's the most popular question I get is, hey, what are you looking for?
Yeah.
When you go out there, what are you looking for? And really, as simply – wait, the simplest way to put it is we look for someone to make you say, wow. Mm-hmm. If you're sitting in the stands and someone does something, they go, whoa, just like DeAndre Swift hurdles a guy.
There you go.
If you're at the high school football game and you see that, whoa, what was that?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he caught your eye. So when we go to a game, you're looking for someone that, you know, stretches a single into a double or someone whose arm really works or can really run, really swings the bat. So something that stands out. And then once that happens, you're really evaluating everything that they do. With a couple of our guys on our team, we've got some pro teams that will come in this fall and literally watch what they're doing while they're not doing anything, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
We've got, you know, Emerson and Cole Wilcox are pretty, you know, highly rated prospects that will not pitch in the fall. They're 100% healthy. We're just going to push them back and get them ready for the spring. But we've got some teams that have some really high picks in the draft that are going to come in and evaluate those guys, among our other players, and just watch what they do when they're not playing baseball, to evaluate their character and their work ethic and all those things. So everything matters when it comes to recruiting and also in Major League Baseball.
Interesting stuff for sure. Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland here in the studio with us.
A lot of folks very excited. Jacksonville coming up in just about a month or so. You guys are going to play the lousy, stinking Florida Gators, as we call them in this studio, for a little exhibition game down there. I guess my first question about that is, and I've always been curious how an exhibition will work amongst very competitive rival college programs. I've heard the suggestions years in past. Hey, for the Georgia football spring game, let's bring in a Clemson. I'm sort of like, no, that's too competitive. I imagine this is going to be a very competitive scrimmage because you don't want to lose to those guys. And you just talked a lot about recruiting, but how will you approach that game when you also just said that some of your star pitchers are not going to pitch this fall?
Yeah, it's funny. I was just thinking about that yesterday.
Yeah.
If, you know, because I know Sully is just as competitive as I am, and we certainly want to win. Anytime you put on the uniform, you want to win. And when you're playing Florida, your rival, you want to win. But you also want to develop some of your young players. We're going to play 9 innings. Our game that we play against Columbus State will probably go 12 to 14 innings. In these scrimmages, you're allowed to do certain things. But we are going to play 9 innings because there is a concert afterwards, so we're a little bit on a time schedule.
Cool.
So it's a little bit different when it comes to that. But, yeah, we're going to try to win, no question. but we also will play some of our freshmen, some guys that might not be quite ready to play, but we want to put them in front of 8,000 people.
Excellent.
I think 3,000 tickets have already been sold. So cool. we're going to sell this game out, and it's going to be competitive. It's going to be fun, but we're going to play some young guys too and try to get their feet wet.
Who's the home team?
They are the home team. We'll just do it with the football team.
Okay.
Yeah, it's whatever. Okay. That's we agreed that, you know, so next year, and we've already agreed to play next year, and we hope everything this goes well and we're able to do it, but we'll be the home team next year.
What is just the short story of the how it came about? How did this thing start, and whose idea was it, and how on board were you at when you first heard of the idea?
Well, Kevin O'Sullivan talked to me about 4 years ago about the possibility of doing it, and that's before the rule changed. Last year was the first year that we could play two games in the fall. But he approached me about just doing it anyway, and then if you would have played a game, if we played three games in the fall, then we could only play 55 games in the spring. You would take one away. So he just threw out the idea, hey, what do you think about doing that as an exhibition? We only play 55 games in the spring. So we had already started talking about it a little bit, but when this rule changed, we thought we were going to do it last year. And again, as a baseball coach, me and Kevin O'Sullivan are like, okay, well, let's just turn on the lights and go play. Well, we didn't realize after we talked to the city of Jacksonville and started working, they use that stadium as a tailgating event.
Oh, yeah.
And it starts on Thursday for them. So they basically said, no, you can't play here because we've got all these tickets sold for tailgating. So it basically took about 18 months to kind of get everything cleared away for this year. And we just signed off on it about a month and a half ago. Okay. We were still in question whether or not we could do it. But give a lot of credit to the city of Jacksonville, their Chamber of Commerce. They made it right. They made it happen, and we're excited to do it.
Very cool.
Now, with all of that, these are kind of weird questions. So does that do your players, do you guys stick around for the game, get tickets to the game? How does all that work?
Yeah, we're going to make a weekend out of it. The rule also applies that you cannot miss school for these fall games, and it just so happens we have fall break here at the University of Georgia. So we get to go down Thursday night. We'll practice here on Thursday, jump on the bus, go down there, stay the night Thursday night, and then we'll go and we'll play. It's a 6:30 game. And then afterwards, there's a concert, Brett Young and Chase Rice. Mm-hmm. It's a really good country concert afterwards. So we get to stay there and watch that. We'll stay the night once again on Friday night, and that's kind of another reward for our kids that we get to go to the Georgia-Florida football game on Saturday, and then we'll come back after that.
We'll come back. So it all works out well. And is Florida in the same boat as far as their spring – or not fall break?
No, it's they have school that day. They have school on Friday, so they'll come up right after they get done with class. So they'll probably get there around 4:30 or 5 o'clock because all their kids got to go to class. It's a day trip for them.
Yeah.
So they're going to come and play, and they'll get on the bus, and they'll go back to Gainesville. We have to stay. And that was kind of the tipping point on whether or not we were going to do this, because our expenses are a lot different than theirs. Theirs is a day trip. Ours is a two-day trip because we can't go down on Friday, drive 5 hours, and expect to get off the bus and play. And then you can't get done playing at 10 o'clock at night and get on the bus and drive 5 hours back. So we have to stay two nights to make this work. And the city of Jacksonville made that happen for us.
That's awesome.
I do want to ask you more about some of your pitchers real quick. You mentioned it, Emerson Hancock, Cole Wilcox. You can pull up any sort of projected draft next year, and it's pretty impressive looking at potentially a couple of top five guys. And you've already mentioned you're not going to pitch him this fall, kind of ease him into spring.
He's not, but unless Georgia's up 3-2 going to the bottom of the ninth against Florida.
Double barrel in the bullpen, those guys.
Hancock and Wilcox are back. Yeah, they're
wild
out there getting
loose. Comes on the PA.
Not going to happen.
But obviously, we all know, you certainly know, you've got something very special in a couple of guys and a lot of anticipation for next spring. And just speak on those guys and what they mean to the program and what it shapes up to be. What could be a very fun 2020 season for you guys?
Well, the talent is without question. You watch Emerson and you watch Cole and you watch Ryan Webb and CJ Smith and you watch these arms that we have. Certainly they're really talented, but the thing that makes those guys different is their work ethic, the way that they go about things. Emerson and Cole, they partner up in everything. When they're in the weight room, they're partnered together. Mm-hmm. When they run together. And they're really competitive. They're best friends, but they're really competitive. And they want to be better than, you know, Emerson wants to beat Cole, and Cole wants to beat Emerson. And that's what makes them really good. And the intangible parts of those, anyone that's ever run into those kids and talked to them, they are the nicest, most humble kids ever. I told Emerson over the summer, he was taking a summer class and was here on campus, and he was working a baseball camp. And actually, the first camp that we had, he was going to go pitch for Team USA and then made the decision, I'm not going to do it. He still was having a little bit of lingering effect with that lat muscle, so he just said, you know what, I'm not going to push this. I'm going to stick around. So he wasn't signed up to work camp. So we've got 125 8 to 10-year-olds on our campus, and all the kids were signed up to work, our players. And Emerson shows up the first day, and I kind of looked at him like, Emerson, you're not on the list to work. He wasn't cleared to work. You can't do that. And he goes, well, can I just hang out? He hung out at camp all day for four days, just hanging out and, you know, just taking pictures with kids. And that's just who he is. And that's why he's going to be where he is. And I actually told him that. I go, Emerson, that's why who you are, that's because hanging around doing this stuff. And just both those guys, the intangibles are off the charts. Several teams, like we said, are going to come in just to observe them. And Coach Kenny actually told an organization, hey, don't waste your time. Just take them. You don't need to send someone here to check out their intangibles. You need to take them. So they're as good as I've ever had talent-wise, but off the field, in the classroom, they're just off the charts.
Great to hear.
Yep.
It's the family, too.
Yep.
I mean, you and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but every coach I talk to in any sport can almost say it's not 100%, but you can meet the family first before you meet the player and kind of know what you're going to get too. And their families are great.
Yeah, Emerson's dad actually coached Kirby back in the day, you know, in high school. And you know, Kirby said, he goes, is that Emerson's dad? And Don's a little older.
Yeah.
And he goes, man, that guy coached me 25 years ago. So
and he's,
you know,
awesome.
He is.
No, always love seeing him.
Don and Monin.
Brother.
And you know, the Wilcoxes come down for every game. They're diehard Georgia fans. And, you know, all of our parents, we're very fortunate, very supportive, and love what we're doing. And love watching us play. It's been fun, and we're looking forward to another great year.
And I love getting the first time I met Lee, Cole's dad. It was like, wait, you're only 20. You look like you're 24. You don't have a son in college. I mean, it's so funny looking.
Magnum PI.
Yeah,
he could be on TV, no question about it.
I mean, he's like, wait a minute, hold on a second.
Yeah.
But it seems like in these last couple of years, with the things turned around, and it just seemed like, I don't know if it was just because of the winning, but the kids were, and I say the kids, the players, just this great group of players that we've had. Even the guys that aren't here anymore, but it's just been so much fun to be around.
Yeah, no question about it. We've been fortunate to have a lot of talented players, but, you know, we've got really quality kids in our program. They work really hard. They take a lot of pride in it. They love Georgia. They love to play. They love to compete. And it's been a lot of fun. It was tough going to begin with. I think we've all talked about that, well documented. But if you're starting at a certain place and you have to build something in this conference, I don't care what you're doing. If you're a coach, if you're a business owner, if you're starting in 14th place and you got to work your way to the top, it's not going to happen overnight. And we just kind of put our head down and worked and tried to keep our mouths shut and closed our ears, because you can't listen to the outside stuff. You just have to keep doing what you believe in and build it and build it and build it. And it's worked. And I've said it 100 times. Greg McGarity was very patient with us. He saw what we were doing. He believed in what we were doing. He gave us the opportunity. And here we are. We've built this thing. And now it's our job just to keep it here and keep being good every single year. And got to break through that wall, become great. You know, good's the enemy of great. So I think we're really, really good. We got to become great, and that's an everyday thing.
I'll tell you when it turned around, but Coach will probably hate me saying this.
I'm ready for
it. He probably doesn't even know what I'm about to say. We're sitting in Lexington in 2016. Yep. Coach knows where I'm going with this. And Kentucky's like, oh, we got to play Georgia this week. And it was bad weather, Logan.
Yep.
So you're sitting
as it normally is in Lexington.
You're sitting there and you're thinking, we may only play like one game this week, and if we start the series on time. And I was sitting at breakfast Friday morning and got the text. It's like, today's game's going to be at
10 a.m.?
No, it was like 1 or 2. 10 a.m. was last year.
Last year. We moved
in 2016, was it that?
It was 2017. It was 2017.
Yep. I'm sorry, 2017. But whatever it was, we were sitting there and we played them that afternoon.
Yeah, it was a lot of. We were supposed to play at 7.
Yeah.
The weather was awful.
Yeah.
It was cold. It was rainy. It was windy. And I got the text message from their coach, like, hey, coach, we're going to move this game up. I'm like, okay, let's do it. It kind of ticked me off a little bit. I'm like, okay, let's do this.
You didn't – that was what I was going to say, is Coach said, all right, we'll play you then. And who won the game?
We did.
Georgia. Yep. Who won the Sunday game? Georgia. Who won two out of three that weekend? Georgia. Who won two out of three the next weekend? Georgia. Or who won the next two series? Yep.
That was the against Dogs, South Carolina and Mississippi State. Yeah, but we finished really strong.
Yeah, finished strong. But that morning was when, because we were just kind of floundering. And
it's the Josh Donaldson effect. You know, the Pittsburgh Pirates brush him off, and he goes on a tear. You know, you make him mad, and it happens.
Somebody got greedy, and it blew up in their face. And next thing you know, here we are right now.
Yeah, it's funny how it works out. You know, it's who knows what would have happened if we would have stuck around and tried to play at 7 or played a doubleheader on Saturday. Who knows? But you know, the bottom line is if you get an opportunity to play, you play. And they felt like that they needed to play to get their wins. And our players kind of took that personal. That's when Cam Shepard was a freshman. That's when those guys were young pups. We all saw the talent, but they were freshmen. And freshmen are going to do some crazy things. And at the end of the year, those kids started to grow up, and we turned it around.
Shunk was hurt. Yep. Mitch Webb steps in.
Yep.
Hits that big home run.
It's, yeah, Grand Slam.
Grand Slam,
opposite
that's
field,
right.
Grand Slam, Oppo. Mitchell Webb, yeah. It was his birthday the other day.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, I wished him a happy 30th birthday.
We have you for another segment after
this. Yeah,
right?
Okay. You're sticking around.
So, I want to ask you next segment about the Big Tech series, because I want to go into depth about that. We're up against a break in a second. So I'll ask you this, Coach. You seem really calm today, being that the Cleveland Indians are a half a game out of the wild card and only four games behind the Twins with only a couple of games to go. Give us a little prognosis. Are the Indians going to find themselves in October baseball?
Well, it's actually kind of half excited, half depressed, because the Browns just so,
I know. I wasn't going to bring it up.
So, gosh, it just breaks your heart, because it's, you know, 1987 and 88 were really fun for me in high school watching Bernie Kosar. And then you get your heart broken by the drive and the fumble. And so, you know, I've been a Browns fan forever. My dad's a Browns fan. He's from Youngstown. So all my life. So this year, I was so excited. I sent Jared Walsh a text. He's a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I go, finally, I'm going to get you. And halftime of game one, I sent him a text. Now, he's in the big leagues. He was playing during this. And I sent him a text. I go, never mind. At halftime of the Browns game. So it's funny. He's like, hey, I must have missed something. Did they not play well? But so I guess my calmness is because I'm excited for the Indians, but I'm depressed for the Browns. So typical Indian fan.
Fair enough. I'll say this, that we as Atlanta sports fans, we understand. I'm not relating it. Browns fans are – I get it, but we've gone through
our
heartbreaks.
We're loyal. That's the only thing we can say about Browns
absolutely.
Fans.
Absolutely. I will credit you that 1,000%.
I can never be accused of being a front-runner.
That's right.
I'm a Browns fan.
Because there's only – let's see, the Browns, the Lions – like the teams that haven't been to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, there's a couple other ones, I think.
Coaches over here going, oh, why are we talking about this?
Forget. Red, right, 88, 1981.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, at least your team doesn't have the worst loss in sports history.
That is correct.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate that, Dave.
Yeah, Hey, I'm a Falcons fan. I'm a Braves fan, too. But Browns and Indians, that's in my blood.
All right, Coach Strickland here in the studio with us. We will continue on with Coach in the the next segment. We will, because that is I want to talk about the tech series for sure. It's 8:28
of the Dogs in the Classic City. It's Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref.
And good morning. Welcome back in the Tuesday edition of the morning show 960 The Ref. We are presented by St. Mary's Medical Group, Logan and Dave, along with a special guest on a Tuesday morning. If you're tuning in to hear Coach Donnan, that was yesterday. We've upgraded to Coach Strickland today.
No, it's not upgraded. Don't tell Coach. No way.
What did y'all say about me?
No way.
Nah, great to be joined in studio. Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland, we certainly appreciate your time this morning. And a lot of good conversation. I guess, you know, college baseball is one of those sports that you get into the fall and the winter and you blink your eyes and it starts. It's not that long wait that a lot of Major League Baseball fans I have to wait for, and obviously you guys are in the middle of fall practice now. You got a scrimmage coming up in Jacksonville, but that long winter that a lot of baseball fans associate the sport with, you don't have that. Your business all go ahead right now.
Yeah, no question about it. We'll go all the way up until November 1st. Our fall session, we get 45 days to practice as many as 30 times.
Okay.
So we'll get all of our workouts done in the fall. Our last day in the fall will be that game against Florida on November the 1st. And then we go into the weightlifting mode and just kind of breaking some things down. Maybe some things that guys need to work on for that next month while they're still in school. And then they're gone for a month. They go on Christmas vacation. They're at home with their families. And they certainly are expected to come back in January in great shape. But when they get back in January, we're a month away from playing. And when the big leaguers go to spring training, that's when we're starting games. Yep. And I think it's maddening to a lot of fans to come and sit in the stands on February the 15th and it's 48 degrees and misty. Doesn't make a lot of sense, but that is what it is. And I don't see it changing anytime soon.
Well, at least we're in the South and we have a chance.
Yeah.
Of some nice weather. I have been very comfortable on a Valentine's game. I've been very miserable on a Valentine's
Day
game.
It's always so you never know. Sunny the weekend
exactly.
before.
Exactly.
It seems like. And you're like, oh, why couldn't we have that this weekend?
Yeah. It is weekend. Hit or miss. Yeah. Those early weekends are hit or miss. And last year, I mean, it seemed like we played doubleheaders almost every single weekend.
We did.
At least early on. And it's tough, but it is what it is. And we are blessed with relatively good weather, especially when you talk about what they deal with in the Midwest and the Northeast mm-hmm. and all that. So it's our schedule, and that's what we do.
Well, speaking of schedules and February baseball, I personally love what you guys are doing with the Tech Series this year. Instead of spacing it out three games in February 28th, now we also get a leap year February 29th game as well,
yep.
and March 1st. You guys will be playing Tech at Foley Field that Friday, SunTrust Park on Saturday, then at Tech on Sunday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. How did this come about? I think fans are really in for a treat to see this as a three-game, three-venue series, like the way it's panned out.
Well, similar to the Florida exhibition, we've been talking about this for a couple of years, and you know the biggest hurdle was getting SunTrust Park. Mm-hmm. You know that early in the year, they're getting ready for that April opening day, and the grass are very sensitive about the grass at SunTrust, which I understand. And, you know, just getting it that early was probably the biggest hurdle. But we made the decision 2 years ago that we were going to try to do this. So we started talking with CHOA, Children's Healthcare mm-hmm. of Atlanta. They're still our title
Good.
Sponsor, and everything goes to them for that game. But just getting everybody on the same page and the Braves and SunTrust Park signed off on it, gave us permission to play. So for the next 3 years, we've got it for sure. And going all the way forward to 2022, or actually 23, we don't have that date yet. But we think this is something that we're going to do every single year. And
yeah.
I just think it's better baseball because you're mm-hmm. seeing your Friday, Saturday, Sunday starters as opposed to midweek relievers. And, you know, we all know that sometimes it can get a little watered down when you're playing four and five games a week. And you're playing your rival,
yeah.
and you know I remember some friends of mine would when Robert Tyler was on the mound and hey you're gonna throw Robert against Tech? No, we're gonna throw yeah. Robert against LSU, and so you can't throw your best pitcher every time. So that's what we're gonna be able to do. Emerson Hancock will get to pitch against Georgia Tech. Cole Wilcox will get to pitch against Georgia Tech, and vice versa. They're gonna throw their best arms at us. So it should be really fun.
South Carolina and Clemson have used yeah. this model for years. Did you consult with them to – and they've gotten – I think it's worked out very well for them, too, in the weather, but how much did you talk to them about this?
A lot. You know, we talked with Coach Kingston and Coach Lee at South Carolina and Clemson and just to see how that's worked. And, you know, Coach Tanner and Coach Leggett used to do that
yeah.
way back. So just something they've done. We've looked at it. We've talked about it. But we finally – you know, our logistics were a little bit different because we're using a major league park. They use a minor league park. But using a major league park, ours is a charity event as well. And, you know, just getting out of that, the April date weather-wise works much better. But a Tuesday night, we're still getting 20, 25,000 people there. But Saturday afternoon in late February, early March, we could get, if it's 70 degrees
mm-hmm.
At SunTrust at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we could sell that place out. And that's what we want to do. To play in front of that crowd and also do it for Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, it would be awesome.
Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland is here in the studio. By the way, Strap Dog has emailed in and says,
Strap.
Happy birthday to your mom today.
Happy birthday
Excellent.
To my mom.
Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
How are your folks doing?
They're doing good. I went up to Ohio, Athens North, as I call it. I'm from Athens, Ohio, and went up there about a month ago and was with my dad for his birthday. And today's my mom's birthday. But they're doing good. They weren't able to come down for the entire season last year for the first time. You know, getting older stinks.
Yeah.
But they're doing good. They followed every single game. They listened to you guys every single night.
We appreciate
that.
And
they did come down. They saw us play Kentucky. They came down for the postseason. And we're hoping that they can come down a little bit for more of an extended time this spring. But yeah, thanks to Strap Dog. We'll see him on Friday. We got our alumni golf outing on Friday and invited Strap Dog. Actually, you know, talking to a few of the former players that are coming along. Hey, we need to get Strap out here. So we're bringing Strap out to be on the golf course, and that should be a lot of fun on Friday.
Who wins that lottery to play with Strapper? How do you deem that prize?
I'm envisioning Strap being on like five different teams, just getting on a golf cart and just kind of going wherever the refreshments are. I can see him kind of finding his way there.
Absolutely.
But yeah, he's going to be a little bit, I think, overloaded with excitement because you've basically got every era of Georgia baseball that's here. We've got the young guys, we've got the older guys. Mm-hmm. So, and he's going to know them all, and everyone knows him. So it should be a lot of fun for him and a lot of fun for our former players.
Michael emails in and says, ask Coach how Sullivan is doing.
He's doing great.
Okay.
Yeah, he's put on 20 pounds this offseason. And, you know, he suffered the concussion last spring at South Carolina, and it really messed with him. And he finally got healthy near the end and started to really swing the bat better. But he looks really, really good. And, you know, I've said this for five straight years now. He is the best defensive first baseman, hands down, in the country. He's the best one I've ever had. And having him over there at 6'4", he's a huge target with great feet and hands. And Cam Shepard won the gold glove because he's that good. But Sully had a little piece of that. Maybe he gets a piece of leather for that because he saves so much over there. But, yeah, he's doing great. He's healthy. Mason Meadows, same thing. You know, the head is finally cleared. It's amazing the injuries that we had last year and to do what we did. But those guys are all healthy, looking good, and we're excited.
So with now, do you put Cam as the best defensive shortstop you've ever had?
Yes. Yeah. Jimmy Ryder, when I was at Kent State, Jimmy Ryder was our four-year starter, and then he was our volunteer coach
for
a couple years. Jimmy he just was so reliable. But, yeah, Cam's a little bit more athletic. I hope Jimmy's not listening. Cam's a little bit more athletic, and Jimmy knows that. But just a really, really good player. And you know, and the bat's coming along. And he swung the bat really well late for us, Cam did, last year. And having him back as a senior is just an extra bonus.
Well, you know, with the Georgia football team in 2017, getting Sony and Chubb back and, I guess, Carter and Bell. I mean, is Cam kind of like that for you coming up this year?
Cam and Riley King.
Yeah,
King was drafted by the Braves. Yeah. And we talked a little bit off the air about him. I mean, he was going to sign. He was ready to go. And we just, hey, take a breath. You know, hold on a second. This is something you don't have to do it. And he was a draft eligible sophomore because he redshirted his freshman year. The draft is determined when you turn 21, not being 3 years like football.
Right.
It's when you turn 21. So Riley's got another bargaining year this year. He's a draft eligible junior this year. So we just, hey, sleep on it. Talk to your family. Think about this. Make sure you're making the right decision for you. And lo and behold, the next day he called back and said, you know what, coach, I think I'm staying. So getting Cam, getting Riley back really helps offensively and defensively. And then with the arms we got back, we're excited.
And you said Riley has good days and better days, right?
Riley King.
He's one of those guys.
He's that dude. If he walked in the door right now, hey, guys, how's it going? Smile on his face. He's that guy all the time. Coach Gaspard was really funny last year. He would if Coach Gaspard was just – you know, feeling the age that we all feel someday or just not feeling great because, man, I need to see Riley King. Just give him a high five. Make me feel better. He's that kid. He is the nicest, hardest working. But, you know, I tell you what, he makes an out. You better get out of his way because he's an angry guy when he gets out and then he turns it on. He gets angry. But, man, he plays hard and loves life, man. He wakes up with a smile on his face. I don't know how he does it. Every single day, Riley King is in the best mood you've ever seen.
I think it was in Starkville. I can't remember where it was. And we walk in Friday afternoon, and, hey, how are y'all doing? And he's got this smile on his face. Like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm studying for a chemistry test or a biology test.
That's
like,
him.
You shouldn't be that happy.
Yes, that's him. He's like that every single day.
Yeah.
It's really refreshing when he walks in. He's the hardest worker on our team. And, you know, I think his story is pretty well documented that, you know, he didn't play his freshman year. We redshirted him. He had an injury to his knee. He played in, I think, six games his redshirt freshman year. Got six at-bats and then came back last year and you could argue was maybe our best player, close to it. And it's all because of how hard he works. He's really talented, but just works and works and works. And he's gotten better. He's taken another jump. So we're really excited about Riley.
You know, and speaking of the draft, because people ask me about Wilcox, and I'll be like, well, you know, he's going to be draft eligible after his sophomore year. And they're like, oh, that stinks for us. And my response is like, well, look at it this way. If he hadn't been in that position age-wise, he may not have come to college at all. Is that safe to say?
It was one of the factors.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when he committed, he called, and you know, I always say, hey, are you sure? Is this where you want to be?
Yeah.
And he says, Coach, absolutely, I'm coming to Georgia. He said from day one he's coming. Now, they knew he was draft eligible as a sophomore all
years,
along,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
But, you know, he wanted to come to school. He wanted to have this experience. He wanted to be able to play in the SEC and get better. And what we tell our kids is, hey, you get to be bigger, stronger, faster, smarter if you come to college and then go to pro ball, as opposed to being an 18-year-old going out in the middle of Arizona on your own with a bunch of money in your pocket. That sounds awesome. But, you know, how many child actors and how many child musicians make it in life? Look at them. They turn into messes because they're not ready to handle it. And when we were 18, put a bunch of money
gosh,
in our pocket.
I'm just glad there weren't cell phones when I was 18.
18 years old, on your own, you're a rock star. Everybody in town knows who you are. It probably is not going to turn out very well. So when you look at guys like Chipper and Jeter and Trout, those guys that came out of high school but made it and turned into superstars, it takes a special person to be able to do that, and it's pretty rare, though.
Well, like, I mean, with Wilcox, I mean, how much – I mean, you see him – I saw him last year, and you'd be like, man, you just forget how big he is. What has he done this offseason? Has he put on any more weight, or is he?
He's 240 pounds.
Yeah, yeah.
He is as big. He's Big Thunder Mountain is what his nickname is, and he is a huge human being, but really hard worker, really strong, country strong too. But he pitched for Team USA this summer. You know, he got to go over. I think he probably lost a little weight going over to Korea and Japan and Taiwan because. A lot of squid. He goes, Coach, I wasn't eating that. He goes, I'll look for the McDonald's, Coach. So a lot of McDonald's eating this summer for Team USA. All of them did. Even the
McDonald's
coaches.
Over there is a little weird.
He said, Coach, it was all right.
Our McDonald's.
But, he did not enjoy the food. And that's the big complaint when you go over there. Over there for like 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of food that just you're not
used
to.
Do they not cater to them with American food?
Not really.
Really?
Not really. And that's, you know, one of the arguments – against catering to them is, hey, we want these kids to have an experience. This is what it's like, but you're basically 3 weeks of kids being miserable and hungry all the time.
Yeah.
So, but that's what they do, and it is an experience for him, and I know he enjoyed it. He was happy to get back home, I can tell you that.
Coach Strickland here in the studio with us. We had one email asking, hey, we want to come out and see the team this fall, so could you give the dates and then – for practices and stuff again? I know you hit it earlier.
Yeah, this week we're going to practice Tuesday and Thursday during the week, 2:30 to 5:30,
okay.
Because we have our alumni golf outing on Friday.
Okay.
So Friday will be an off day for our players because we're going to be out at the golf course with our former players. Saturday and Sunday we're going to practice. We will inter-squad on Saturday and Sunday. 11 o'clock is when we'll stretch,
okay. And
the inter-squad will start around 12:30-ish
okay.
on both days, on Saturday and Sunday. Our normal schedule during the week is practicing Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Okay.
And then Monday's always an off day. And then Tuesday, Thursday, we use those days as our individual days that we work on. You know, if we see something in practices that we need to work on, we can work with them individually on those days.
Practices are open, though.
They're open. Gates are open. Come on. Just don't yell at us. Other than that, just go up there and watch.
Do you ever kind of, when you're – coaching the players and they do something in practice you don't like, do you ever think, oh, I got to watch what I'm saying here because there's people in the stands?
You know, it's funny you say that. At Kent State, our field was in the middle of nowhere. It was in the middle of the woods, and it was me and the players, and it was free speaking. You could just go. You could go. And I remember our first practice here, and we had a lot of – probably 150, 200 people just very curious about what we're going to do. And I look up in the stands and I'm getting after the guys. I'm like, oh gosh, I can't say what I'm thinking. I can't say. So yeah, I've curbed it a little bit. The dugout clubs also curb my language. There's some really nice families that sit right there on the field next to our dugout. My language is cleaned up considerably with open practices and the dugout club. It's really cleaned up.
That's funny. There's a reason I asked you that question. So it was, you had my wife and I were walking in Five Points a couple of years ago, and y'all were practicing, and it was – I think it was – it wasn't in the fall. It was in the – before the season started. And I remember the player, but I won't call him out. And we were standing out in right field watching y'all practice for a few minutes, and you got on – and it wasn't anything bad, but you got on to somebody.
Never.
And And my wife said, well, I guess he got on him pretty good, didn't he? And I went, well, you know, he probably needed
that's coach.
It. He yeah, probably needed coach him up. That was coaching.
I had that talk with our players on Sunday because, you know, our freshmen, you know, we've got a lot of new freshmen. Mm-hmm. And they're not used to being, they've been the superstar. And sure. They come in here and all of a sudden, you know, they're getting coached. And I'm telling, look, if you do something, I'm going to coach you. If you do it again, I might coach you a little harder. And I go, you younger guys can talk to these older players. Every single guy, I've got a piece of every single one of these players, Cam Shepard, Emerson Hancock, it doesn't matter who you are, you're going to get coached. And I think that's how you get better. We challenge our guys. We want them to be great all the time. And sometimes you got to coach them hard. There have been times that I've gotten on a guy and I go to bed that night and I go, oh, gosh. I got on Riley King last year and I felt bad for 2 days because I got mad at Riley King. I apologize. Riley, I feel so bad for yelling at you. Keegan McGovern, I got on one time and Keegan McGovern, him and Riley King could probably compete for the nicest human beings on the face of the earth. And I got mad at Keegan one time and I let him have it. And it was actually over the phone. I got on him, and I hang up, and I looked at my wife. My wife was in the car kind of looking at me like I had three eyes, and I go, I can't believe I just yelled at Keegan. I felt so bad. I texted him like, hey, man, sorry about that.
Tough love.
Man. Yeah, love that kid.
That's right. Tough well, this love. Player, he had to get his head out of a certain part of his anatomy.
It happens.
I would never say
that. A lot of players lose their heads.
He went on and had a great season, yeah. So excellent. It worked. It worked.
It
see, that's why the football team doesn't have the open practices.
Well, Kirby's on the mic. If you walk by, Kirby's on the mic. Yeah. You can hear Kirby from five blocks away.
And that's true.
And Kirby doesn't care. He lets you. Kirby's going to coach you. I went to practice a couple weeks ago, and, man, it was nonstop, 2 hours. He's on the mic. He's like the DJ.
Yeah.
And he is going.
I don't know how he has a voice ever.
It's
impressive, yeah.
Well, I think he decided I want to keep my voice, so I have the mic. So he's on. It blares. If you're in the Rankin Smith Center studying, you got to put the headphones on because Kirby is going to coach you if you're in the Rankin Smith Center.
Scott, this was fun. Thank you for coming in.
No problem. Enjoyed
Hopefully
it.
We can catch up with you again soon.
Let's do it.
Good luck taking out the Gators down in Jacksonville.
All for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
We hope not to see Emerson, but if we need him, Coach, we got to put him on in.
Bring him.
You'll see Emerson writing down on a clipboard. That's what you're going to see Emerson Hancock do.
All right, that's Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland. We'll come back and finish up the hour here on 960 The Ref.
Allison stared out the window of her new corner office.
How did I?
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.